What's up, podcast world? I am Moses Mania, and this is Gladiator Power Talk. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to have a very special guest coming all the way from the UK on the phone, Aaron Page. Aaron Page is a gym owner at the Barbell Division. He is sponsored by SBD and Bearded Clothing, and he is by far one of the most interesting, talented, and very educated strongmen on the scene over there in the UK. I'm going to have him on the phone. But before I get started, guys, I want to just let you guys know a few things. First, thank you for listening to last week's episode with Grant Higa. I know it was 2 weeks ago. Last week, the internet broke. We were supposed to have the podcast, and about 3 hours beforehand, me and Aaron were messaging each other, and all of a sudden, Instagram went down, Facebook went down, WhatsApp wouldn't download to our phones, and that's how we're talking, is through WhatsApp, and it wouldn't allow us. So last week's episode is this week. Next week, I will have Eddie Williams, the Australian strongest man, on the show. But we're going to do this week with Aaron Page first. Anyway, before I get Aaron on the phone, I want to give a quick shout out to my sponsors, New Universal Order Clothing. New Universal Order is probably the most comfortable clothing you have in the gym for the best price. And you can wear it to a wrestling event and have all your dorky, nerdy wrestling friends tell you how awesome you look. So a big shout out to them. They're my sponsor, not only for the podcast, but for me in general, New Universal Order. Second line of business is for all your great supplements, go to Axe and Sledge. Axe and Sledge is now a sponsor of the show. They support me. I support them. And by using the code for Axe and Sledge, Menendez, M-E-N-E-N-D-E-Z, 10, you'll save some money on your next order, and they'll throw in a few extra things for you if they like you. Anyway, down to business. I'm going to get Aaron on the phone right now, and we are going to go live with Aaron Page.
Hey, man.
Hello?
Hey, dude, how you doing?
Hey, dude, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, man.
Huh?
I can hear you fine.
Perfect. Aaron, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
It's awesome to have you. I was just telling before I got on the phone, I had to explain what happened last week with the internet breaking and everything.
Yeah, so it went down and then so did half the
work. Yeah, it was crazy. But, so Aaron, I know that you are the owner of the Barbell Division, or co-owner, sponsored by SBD and Bearded Clothing. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
So, basically, to get where I am today, I basically walked into a gym 7 years ago, picked up a strongman log, and kind of got hooked instantly. From there, I sort of done my first competition, and won it by quite a lot. Went by 10 points, so I thought, ah, quite enjoy this. Then went well through the ranks. I've now done two shows, which is the World Strongest Man qualifying tour. So, I'm pretty much just scratching on the door to get to World Strongest Man.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You were on Giants Live. What is that like, being on Giants Live?
It's nothing you've ever experienced before, especially with them over here in England. We have they're quite big shows, so when you walk out there and there's 7,000-8,000 people just screaming and shouting for such a small sport, it's definitely a good feeling, but it's completely surreal at the same time.
Yeah, that's amazing. See, here in the States, strongman isn't really as popular as it is over there. The biggest event over here, I mean, this year we had Worlds, but before Worlds came over, we had the Arnold Classic in Ohio.
Yeah.
And probably about 4,000 to 5,000 where it was at the event. So eight plus thousand, I can only imagine it. And every video I see online makes me want to hop on the next plane to the next event.
It's something different. But you're in Europe was 10,000 people. And we have Wembley just gone the other day. And so they're getting bigger each time. But obviously, the one-day shows are a bit easier to pack out because it is just one show. Obviously, with the likes of like World's Strongest Man, it's only like a 4 or 5 day, so it's a bit harder to try and keep everyone.
Right. Right. Now, you didn't compete in the last Giants Live. Any reason? Just didn't do it, or
no? I got injured in January. I tore some ligaments in my back, and I jammed my facet joint. Not too bad. I've recovered from it now, but
okay, yeah.
Put me down the list just because obviously I've been injured, and to the risk of coming back too quickly obviously can cause more injury. So what you can do is probably got moved to the bottom of the list.
Okay,
everyone that got invited turned up. So
Yeah, I saw you were injured. I just couldn't find anything on your injuries. Just you were injured, and I was like, man, well, I gotta find something on this guy. But okay, it was your back.
Yeah, so that's what it was. Is yeah, I jumped my fasting joint. Picked up a sandbag, and I stepped too quickly with it.
Okay.
Which then overstretched and pulled me forward. Without really set properly, I tried to get it up. So I went my back again, and I was like, that's not good. Then, yeah, I went to the physio and that, struggled to get off on the couch. Then I got back, saw my guy. He said to me what it was. We got treatment straight away and ready to speed up the process, so it wasn't too bad.
Okay, so are you aiming the next Giants live? Are you sitting back and just waiting for the right opportunity? What?
I've recovered now, so obviously sometimes, well, I don't know if you had a deficiency on my legs.
What was that?
Sorry, have you heard of the official Strongman Games?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what I've got over here now, which is the European one. So top three in that normally get invited out to the world, which is obviously qualified for Giants live, so.
Okay. Now you never competed in Worlds, correct?
No, yeah, I haven't. So that's my next step, obviously.
Okay.
But I've got in September. I've also been invited out to Lithuania to do the SPD World Longlift Championships, which is being held by Zdrunas.
Oh.
So obviously you had the World Longlift Championships by Giants Live, which was a Europe's Strongest Man, but this is one run by SPD.
Okay.
So it's a slightly different title. It's like different federations, essentially, if you think of it that way.
Got it. And
that's being run by Zdrunas himself. And then he's invited me to do the Zdrunas Classic, which is the day after, which should be good as well.
Okay. So you're going to do that all one weekend?
Yep. So I've got the World of Lifts on the Saturday, and then the Sunday, we've got six events. We've got an overhead press medley, squat for reps, truck pull, medley... and stones, so it should be fun.
That does sound like fun. It seems like they're bringing the squat back into strongman. How do you feel about that?
Naturally, I'm normally quite a good squatter anyway, so it doesn't faze me too much. I quite like squatting. So, but it is good to see. The only problem is it's very questionable sometimes to see depth and stuff like that. When I see with powerlifting, they're quite strict on it.
Yeah.
It's only because it's one rep, but when you're doing it for multiple reps, it's probably a bit harder to manage.
Yeah, I could imagine.
I enjoy it, so I've got no problem with it being back in.
Okay. Yeah, me, I'm transitioning from powerlifting to strongman, and squatting heavy for... Oh, my God, yeah. Squatting for reps is so different, and then my last guest, Brand Higgo, was just telling me, you know, it's longevity, so I've been focusing more on heavy for more reps, and it's taking a toll on me, but I love it. I'm getting used to it, and I love every minute of it.
Yeah, I mean, longevity is a big thing. What a lot of people neglect, sort of the important parts of sort of proper warm ups, mobility drills, and sort of stretching recovery afterwards. So, not many people should rather than take it seriously, they should really.
Right. So, now you said you walk into the gym, you pick up this log, and you fall in love with strongman right away. So, is the log lift, your best lift or the deadlift?
Personally, I prefer the log, so it's my favorite event. The most I've done in the gym's 211 kilograms.
Okay.
And best I've done at competition is 200. So, my deadlift was my worst event for a long time. I got stuck.
Okay.
For 2 years at 350 kilos.
Okay.
And would not budge. I changed the coach. I spoke to a different guy. We re-looked at my biomechanics for the deadlift, worked with a new position and how I was pulling. Within 6 months, I pulled 420 in a suit.
Oh, wow.
Kind of grumbled at that.
That's a big jump.
Just really differently, taking my position wider, starting from that position, engaging more muscle before I pull. And yeah, so just training that plane and the movement, and numbers started flying quite comfortably.
Okay, so I see you're a coach, you own your gym, so you have that problem with the deadlift. Is that frustrating from being a teacher, or is it...
It is because obviously I want to know what the problem is. And the problem was at the time is I had a coach, and he was trying to get me to deadlift a certain way, the way he wanted me to deadlift.
Right.
But he wasn't taking into consideration that style of deadlift wasn't working for me. So, but obviously being a young coach, he was my boss at the time as well, so everything I was learning was a temp, so what he said was gospel. It wasn't until I stepped away from him that I realised a lot more that, well, it's not just one way to do things.
I got it.
And that's when I started sort of with my clients, and then, well, you can't really argue with biomechanics either, because they dictate sort of how our lever legs move when we're deadlifting the movement pattern. So if you're doing something that's biomechanically efficient to your body type, then you're going to get the most pulling power out of it because you're using the most muscles, rather than sort of shutting them off by standing too narrow or too wide, hand grips. It all comes down to just using as much muscles, the white muscles, as possible. So you can't argue with the theory behind it. And I did that, and I now translate that onto other guys, and they seem to pick it up, and they seem to be the best. So I can't
argue
with that.
Yeah, can't argue with that. So now, while you're going through all this, you put the suit on in the middle, or you wait to put the suit on?
So if I know I'm doing a sit session, I will build up. I get to about 220 kilos, then I'll put half a suit on, go up to 270, go for a loose full suit, and then 320, I start tightening the suit up until I get to the
bigger
singles.
Got it.
Because I've got a Metal King suit, so it's got the Velcro strap, so we can tighten it each lift. So yeah, it just helps me adapt to it and sort of not get that claustrophobic feeling of getting squeezed into a suit to take it off straight away.
Okay. So now in the 7 years of doing this, you're full in with the strawman. Do you ever stop and do any powerlifting competitions or ever think about it?
I try to. I've got massive respect for powerlifting, but I'm sorry, it bores me. Absolute rubbish at me.
Yeah.
I can't just do the three lifts. It just, I've not got that.
Yeah,
that patience.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah, powerlifting meets are a marathon of patience, is what I tell people.
I take it wrong. I've got plenty of clients that do it, and I've been to competitions where, well, let's say one guy I had was the British Juniors that we had over here. We got there, he weighed in, they messed it all up. He didn't actually start lifting until 6 o'clock in the evening. We ended up leaving till 11 o'clock at night with a 7-8 hour drive ahead of us.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it was a nice and fun.
Yeah. And they had to weigh in the same day of the event?
Yeah, so normally with IPF over in British Powerlifting, it's a 2 hour before weigh-in.
Wow.
So you weigh in, you got then 2 hours is meant for your first lift, but they mixed it up, so he weighed in first thing in the morning. Didn't lift till 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Can't take it away from him though, we did win it, so happy with that.
That's crazy. See, here in the States, we did the weigh-in the day before, then go up and carb up and do all the crazy shit.
That makes more sense, but for some reason they like to live like that. It's a shame for
us. Yeah, that's interesting. Here is like that. I mean,
yeah, so I can't do all the three lifts in training, but I like the variation of like the log, the Atlas Nose, single arm dumbbell press, yokes, farmer's walks, truck pull. It makes it all more fun.
Makes it more fun. It makes you have to be more athletic.
Yeah, to be fair, a lot of people sort of jump. They underestimate how hard some of the stuff we do is. You know, people tell me, oh yeah, that looks easy. Well, go and have a go then. Oh, that's a lot harder than it looks. Of course it is. Not everyone could just do it.
Yeah. Not anybody can put a yoke on their back and walk with it either.
Yeah, exactly. And then you see people, oh, you only walk with it. Yeah, well, feel free, get under it. Then they walk under like a 1,000-pound yoke and they're dying by the end of it.
That's a fact. Okay, so I asked my last guest this last week. I'm going to ask all my guests this probably. I'm transitioning powerlifting to strongman. What's the one thing you would tell me to do as a coach?
As a coach, first thing I would probably say is to be open-minded, because you get a lot of narrow-minded people when it comes to the sport, so you've got to do certain things and amazing, exciting things when it comes to it. It's not as simple as squat bench deadlift. You've got to find different various techniques on each movement, and you just need to work with the one that works for you. Not go, if a guy says, I need you to do it like this, it doesn't work for you, don't fucking do it, do what works for you. But be open-minded to the movement at the same time.
Right. So open-minded. All right, I'm gonna take that into
it. A lot of people close off because they've been training for years and they've been doing a different sport and they think it should only be done one way. Like the amount of powerlifters that I've coached, powerlifters and strongmen, they're doing mixed grip. I'm like, why don't you just use straps? Oh, because I'm used to it. That's like, no, use straps. You then don't have to worry about your grip. Then using mixed grip already is already twisting your freaking pelvis and your spine out of place. So that's getting your longevity a bit better. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's just simple things like that. It's like, don't use mixed grip if you don't have to.
Yeah. Like,
it's not going to achieve anything. You're prolonging the risk of injury on bicep tears, twisted pelvis, even compressed discs, just because the underhand, you twist.
Right.
It's just fact, it's the way the body works. There's no way in a million years you can stay square while using a mixed grip. It just doesn't work.
So I missed grip now, so you're saying go right to hook grip.
No, I wouldn't need the hook grip, just use straps.
Okay.
Still train your grip. So I always work my grip up to about 220, 250, double overhand, and then I'll chuck my straps on. But you'll work your grip through farmer's walk, through keg carries, through sandbags, stuff like that. You still work your grip. But when it comes to deadlifting, you want to think about the least amount possible. So if you're deadlifting, you don't even think about what you're doing, as well as your foot position, as well as your lower back, as well as this, as well as that. Well, take one thing away, one thing less to worry about. So I've got straps on, my hands aren't going anywhere. Oh, that's sort of it. Now I can focus on this, now I can focus on that.
Okay.
So it's like eliminating the little things you don't need to worry about.
No, yeah, it makes complete sense now. I'm thinking about it, yeah.
It's just because a lot of powerlifters are just years and years and years because you aren't allowed to use straps. It is mixed fit. But like, when you look at Louis Simmons, he's an absolutely fantastic guy. When you look at just the way he stands from the amount of years of mixed grip, how much lower his shoulder is and how twisted he is when he walks.
Right.
And that's just from years of lifting.
Yeah.
So if you don't need to, if you're not doing powerlifting, you're not training for me. Now crack on, put steps on, it doesn't really matter. It's not about who's got the biggest grip at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's about how many reps you can do on that deadlift.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would say about that anyway.
No, you're opening my mind up. That's why I'm happy to have you on the show. I'm happy to have this conversation with you. It's making a lot of sense, what you're saying.
I found it more beneficial the more people minded I've been to other people's suggestions, the easier my career's gone. Because I know, why am I doing like that when I can do this? Why am I doing that when I can do this? They said it could be one random thing from someone. And actually, no, that makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah,
do that.
And that's where the open-minded comes in. You just have to take one thing away from something.
And that's the thing, when you compete, like, you get all these people that get bummed out, oh, I lost, I did this, and you're not learning. So if you feel like you've lost, you've not learned anything. So in my eyes, I never lose a competition because I always take a land that's been lost away.
Yeah. And
so like with Brits this year, even though I had to go out injured, that wasn't my learning curve. My learning curve was the fact that I was cramping before the log, so I clearly wasn't taking enough electrolytes.
What was that? You were dealing with cramping, and what happened? You broke up there.
I'm sorry, I was cramping, and in the first event, there's no one willing to attention to the cramping. So I realised that I need to make sure that I've got more electrolytes and more salts with me when I compete.
Okay. Now you brought up Louis Simmons. Do you do a lot? Do you read up a lot of Louis Simmons? You follow him a lot?
I take bits of Bob's and I follow Westside because I did it there. With the guys they produced are phenomenal and unreal. But I'm massive. I don't follow their stuff. That makes sense.
No, I'm. You know what? I'm the same way. I tell people, and people look at me like I'm crazy when I say it, because I'm not an equipped lifter at all. I never put a squat suit on or any suit at all.
That's the problem. A lot of people look at it. I think they can do it, but it's not built for that style of training.
Exactly. And then you have the other people that go, oh, well, they're only lifting that much weight because of a suit. No, they're in there putting the work in. It's not just the suit that's doing it.
I had a guy that I competed against, Pete Brennan. He's in the World Deadlift Championships recently. He actually went out and trained early for 3 weeks. And he said to me, he said, mate, 2 weeks is the hardest 3 weeks I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, no, yeah. I
push it and push it and push it. Get the absolute best of it.
So it was an experience I'll never lose. And I was like, fair play to him.
Yeah, I went out there for the Ohio, the Arnold Classic, and I made sure I went over there. And I sat down and talked to him for 40 minutes, and I actually hurt my back, so I was injured, so I didn't even lift. And just everything he was saying just made sense. I mean, he told me how I hurt myself before I opened my mouth.
Yeah, it's amazing. When you've got someone of his caliber, he knows, he's been through so much over the years, he's seen so much, and you know, he just goes, okay, that's the problem. You kind of go, what the?
Yo, yeah.
A man of that amount of knowledge is absolutely priceless. You can't put a price on that knowledge.
Yeah, and you have to take advantage of it, you know. He's a guy, if you call him, he'll pick up and he'll talk to you.
Yeah. He's up to anyone.
Yeah.
Unless you're a dick, then he won't talk to you.
Well, if you're a dick, he ain't going to answer you.
Yeah, which I think is good. He's very open about how he does things.
That's what I respect about him. You know,
that's what I mean. He doesn't shy away from everything. He's open. I like that.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I like that. You should be open about everything you do.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's why this is what people don't get. His methods work for the lifter like him. Not your average Joe who's just purchased his program, is in your local commercial gym, that's never lifted a weight in his life. Of course the West Side methods don't work for him.
Well, yeah. Or they're a week into it and they're just like, no, I can't do this. It's too much work for me. It's too different. No, you just don't have it in you.
Exactly. You've got to be willing to push the boundaries and test the limits if you want to go far in the sport. I've been doing training sessions where I've literally had to crawl out of the gym because I cannot physically move.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to put that work in, then what's the point of me to start?
Yeah. And also in strongman and powerlifting, you'll agree with this. Injuries are going to come.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way about it.
So far, in the past, say, my first major injury was 2017. I had an incomplete rupture of my Achilles tendon. So the main branch of my Achilles was fine, but the branches that come off into my calf muscle, it all snapped.
Wow.
Then I tore my ACL and MCL on my right knee, tore my ACL on my left knee. Several shoulder impingements, tendonitis. That's about it. So I would know the tear of my back and the jam of the facet joint. It breaks. So that's only been since 2017.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started the year off, I think I was deadlifting. I went to unrack my weights and I felt a pinch in my back. The next day, turned it out of bed. I mean, I wasn't even lifting, I was unloading it. And, you know, it came and I just sat out, and sitting out was the most frustrating part. Here I am. I wanted to just go deadlift at Westside. That's what was a goal of mine for months. I planned the trip in last July for March, and I couldn't do it. And normal people wouldn't even show up. They would stop lifting. They would have 1,000 excuses. No, I don't play that. Yeah. So definitely agree with you on that. What's it like running the gym?
Stressful. Anyone who owns a gym, if they're smiling, they're not doing it right. No, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's a great feeling. The problem is there's a lot of hours that go into it. Obviously, structuring your PT clients, as well as doing online programming, as well as fitting classes in, as well as looking at your equipment that you're going to get, as well as maintaining the old equipment, dealing with staff, like... It's just, it's a stressful job, but once it all settles down, because we just moved, so we've just gone from 775 square feet to 5,250 square feet, so we made it quite a big step up.
Hey, but that's a good sign. You're making moves up, not moves down, so it's a good sign.
Exactly, yeah. So we're seeing how this goes, and if this one settles, there's potential maybe in the next year we might look at opening another, just like a second premises.
That's great.
So, because this is, we've only moved from one premises to another premises, but we're thinking about launching out about 34 miles on the road and opening the second premises.
That's.
So, we'll see. It's building up, it's building.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. So, you can't complain, but a lot of hard work, a lot of behind the scenes goes in, but it all makes it worth it. It's just like you can sit back and kind of go.
Yeah, but.
I built this, you know what I mean? It's that nice feeling.
When I looked you up, I was like, man, this guy is full-time strongman gym owner. I mean, he has to have.
Yeah,
a lot going on, and then you were hurt. I mean, what's it like being hurt and you got to go into the gym? So you just want to like...
Oh, frustrated.
Okay.
It's the most frustrating thing in the world. The lucky thing was, after I got injured at Brits, there was a holiday already booked, so I was away for a week.
Okay.
Which was good for me. I mean, I think if I'd have stayed there, I would have stayed. I would have been kicking myself. But I went away, spent a lot of time in the pool, and did a lot of rehab. And literally, I think that's what helped me being out. Somewhere that had a bit of sun, good quality food, had a pool, had access to do my mobility drills, my stretches, everything. Yeah, I think it really helped my recovery process start quicker, because I had treatment on the day. I had laser treatment, heat treatment, a few other bits. So it really sped up the process of the injury, which was good.
That's great. I mean, you know, you were real smart, it sounds like, about it. Me, I got hurt. I tried deadlifting 3 days later. I'm not even...
To be fair, we've all done it. I'm not always them at this. I remember when I first did my Achilles, I think about 2 weeks later, I returned with an ankle the size of a bowling ball. And it was sort of black and blue. It's sort of moved in 10 rounds with Mike Tyson, but there's me still trying to score. it wasn't my best move, but then I realized I started listening to my body a bit more.
That's true.
Adapt around injuries when we really want to. So, I've said that in the April 2017, I had a competition. Well, the year before, I placed 30 UK shows, and that's a UK slightly different than Glenn Rossi shows. They're sort of close, and they're not as big as the chance of much stuff. I came third in that 2016, so which gave me an automatic invite back to 2017.
Right.
But I had to go and compete at English Strongest Man. So the kicker was, I did my injury in April. English Strongest Man was in June. Then I had to go and do like one lift. So there's me hobbling along with this ankle the size of, like I said, a golf ball. I think I had to do the opening weight log press, which was 140 kilos.
Okay.
Bearing in mind, like, barely put any pressure on my ankle. Managed to throw that up.
Oh my god.
And then I literally pulled out of the competition after that. And then went to UK, we had double trouble, so it was 2 times on my side. This was day two, but I only did that 4 days, and my ankle was not enjoying life. So I've got a floss band. I've never wrapped something so tight around my ankle so I couldn't feel it. And managed to finish the course and finish third in that heat as well. So it all came worth it, but then we had yoke after that, which didn't help. And then I think we had a tire flip. It was just like, are you kidding me? Everything on my ankle is unbelievable.
I think you pissed off somebody that day. They're like, no, what are you doing? Everything with your ankle.
Yeah, but I managed to get through. I got through to day three. But then, you know, day three was a little bit too much, so I ended up finishing seven.
Okay.
But I can't go on board in computer rupture on my Achilles tendon in April, and I'm finishing seventh on day three. Seven out of 16 on day three in the August.
That's not bad. 7 out of 16. Would have messed up ankle. I think you got to take it, right?
And then we had some very heavy events on there, like the next week I was feeling it.
Oh yeah, a week later you definitely don't feel it.
I essentially laid on the sofa, leg up, just needed someone to feed me grapes, I would have been fine.
So now you wanted to compete in World's Strongest Man. What about the Arnold Classic in Ohio, which for the longest time was considered the Strongest Man event?
That is one of the top goals, is to compete at the Classic in Ohio, which I'm waiting for Dion to get back to me about a qualifier that's over in Barcelona in September. So I could be possibly doing that as well.
Okay.
So, touch wood, that all goes well, get invited to the qualifier, finish there, and hope I get the invite to, I think it'll be the amateur Arnold, so I need to compete in that, and then the goal would be to win it, and then the following year go and compete. Big stage.
I mean, the amateur Arnold is, I think you would benefiting with your knowledge, because it's so much faster than the Arnold event. They just want to get you guys off and going.
There's a lot of competitors on me, isn't there?
Yes, there's a decent amount of competitors, but they break it down in the weight classes very well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do three events real fast, and then the next day.
Yeah, they drop it off, and then it's top 10 after that.
Right. So I think you would fare very well.
So hopefully it will go well, and I'll be able to get out there next year.
Yeah, hopefully you can get into it. If you do, I'm going this year. We're going to meet up. I'll take you to see Louie. We can go to the West Side.
Yeah, man, that is my plan. If I do go out, I'm going to do the West Side no matter what.
You have to. It's
definitely.
And what you,
I want to take off.
And what you see on Instagram and on the internet is what you're going to get in real life. The gym is everything you see. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I like that.
And it's amazing when you walk in and it's like, they did all this out of here. That's how you know they're putting the work in. It's special.
It's such a well-known place as well. It's known all over the globe.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, even if you never spoke to him a day in your life, he's going to take the time to talk to you. You know, that's what I like about him. He's a stand-up guy. He'll talk to you.
I do watch his videos and other bits of books, and I love his attitude towards everything. It's brilliant.
No. And it was
quite funny. You wouldn't think of it when you look at, you know, it just looks like he's a nice old granddad that's going to have a Sunday roast with his kids. his grandkids. Yeah, this absolute fountain of knowledge comes out of him.
Yeah. Then he sees you limping in and is like, oh, I know what you did. And he'll just tell you, and you're like, holy shit, what the fuck?
You are 44 to a good man.
So I see you got a pre-workout out. Are you sponsored by a pre-workout?
I'm sponsored by Team Infinity. So, tell you what, you want to get some of that down, yeah? So, the RLF, the Rage Like, is probably the most potent one I've had.
Okay.
Two scoops of that will keep me going for hours.
Really?
And hours. It keeps you wired, it keeps you focused. And because it's not overly dosed with caffeine, it does give you that whole crash afterwards.
Oh, good.
Just slowly tapers off. Really.
I hate that. Now, are you taking anything else than pre-workout? You do amino acids, protein, and all that?
Yeah, I take EAAs with electrolytes. I don't really do protein shakes, I just like my food too much. Fish oils, probiotics, and the greens drink, that's about it.
Okay.
I don't tend to do too much into sort of supplements, so I tend to prefer to eat food.
No, I'm the same way. I love eating, so I don't need any protein powder.
Yeah, it tastes like horrible afterwards. It's just a bit bubbled off.
definitely is. So how long have you been with SBD?
I've been with SBD since 2016. Maybe 2016, I think it was. They started switching.
Oh, okay. So
And then I went to compete in Canada. There's like a team combat and gas there, which went out to that. And then when I got back, I got to know the guy who owns it, Ben, and we got talking. He offered to sponsor me, to support me through. Been one of the best sponsors I've ever had. They literally just break it. I lost someone that stole one of my airway sleeves from my competition once, and I just said to them, I don't mean to be cheeky, they jumped out, I've said something stolen, no problem, within two days I had a new set of airway sleeves, wristwraps, and a few t-shirts as well, and it's just like, oh, they go above and beyond, they really do.
Yeah, they seem like a really good sponsor. I had a few words with them, and they were just nothing but nice. What happened?
The guy who owns it, Ben, he's such a nice guy. Such a plastic guy. Real got time for anyone he has. We've got a lot of time for him.
Yeah. That's how he seemed. And I talked to him a little bit, and he was just real stand-up, real nice, and I was like, wow. Some of these companies don't even reply back to you, and this guy replied back to me within minutes.
Yeah, he's good, mate. He's brilliant. As I say, I've got a lot of time for him. We'll do anything he can to help anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now,
real great company.
Yeah, really is. So now we talk about your supplements. Let's talk about your diet. What's your diet like?
I'm on a seafood diet. Not seafood and I eat it.
I knew it right away when you said it. Listeners are like, a seafood diet, and I'm glad you explained it. Okay.
Most people be, oh, I wonder what this seafood diet is.
Yeah, huh?
You know, I'm a GI seafood, I eat it. I'm not one of the best ones for tracking great healthy foods. As long as I'm consuming enough protein, enough greens, then I'll get my calorie intake in however I can.
Okay, so you're not like one of these guys that has the Tupperware and is like, oh, gotta eat.
If I've got my meals prepped, I'll still have my Tupperware, but it probably won't be chicken boiled rice and broccoli. It's going to be like a massive pasta bake full of sauce and meat and God knows what else in there.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not going to be, well, if I want an ice cream or a milkshake, I'll go and get an ice cream and a milkshake.
Okay. There's no restrictions on the seafood diet for you. Good.
Exactly. It's the best diet going.
It sounds like it.
Well, to be fair, as long as I'm consuming about 6,000 calories a day, I think I'm on the moment, around that sort of area, I'm maintaining my weight at about between 150 and 152 kilos.
Okay.
So, and that's where I'm comfortable.
So to compete, you don't think you're not getting any bigger. You're not like one of these guys that played a weight game. Nah. If I was 20 pounds bigger, I would have got more out of me.
Nope. If I trained harder, I would have got more out of me. Not if I fucking ate more, I'd get more out of me.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. That's an awesome thing to say.
It really bugs me, though. You see a lot of amateur strongmen, like I see on forums and everything. Oh, yeah, I'm trying to gain weight. Well, what are you trying to gain weight for? Oh, wait, but it's right. Why don't you try to get stronger first?
Yeah.
And play the small advantages later. So get strong first, then when you're struggling, maybe put on 5 kilos and see if that helps you. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. Martins proves that to everyone.
Yeah, Martins is amazing.
What, 145 kilos? Sits at?
Just about, yeah. He said his biggest he got up, I think, 148 for the for Worlds.
There you go, so 148. Still not a big weight when you look at some of the other guys, like
Hathor, Grimes. Yeah, but I remember Hathor is like almost 7 foot.
Yeah.
No, he's on a... What was that?
Sorry, so Martins, he's 145, but he still moves well. He still presses strong. He still deadlifts strong. So you can't argue with it, really. It doesn't... Not necessarily the biggest, heaviest man's going to win. It's not like that.
No, I feel... You know, people, because Thor is the most popular guy, right? So people look at Thor, they look at Thor like, oh, he's as big as he is. But you got to remember, he's fucking a mountain.
Yes.
You know, guys like how tall are you?
I'm only 6'1", well, just under 6'1".
You're under 6'1". Thor got you by 9 inches. He's almost 7 foot or some crazy shit. People
nine
fail.
9 inches is a lot to some people.
People fail to recognize that, though.
They don't. They just see numbers and go, oh, okay.
Exactly.
It's hard for people to grasp sometimes. Don't feel like I had a friend who bumped into Hathor at the on his way back from Worlds. I was like, fucking hell, I didn't realize how big he was. It's like, mate, he's like 6'9". He's giant. He's huge.
Yeah, you know, they named the mountain by mistake.
Yeah, it's not just like a gimmick nickname. He's not really like 5'0".
Yeah,
he's actually called the mountain because he is like the size of a mountain.
Yeah, even when I saw him at the Arnold, my girlfriend was like, "That guy's fucking huge," and I'm like, "Yeah, he's called the mountain."
You can see why now.
So, but that people see numbers, and that's what it is. But,
they see numbers and that's what they tend to care about. It's like, I had this argument with a few of my friends. I tend to sort of wind them up, but when we talk about lightweight strongman and stuff like that, and they all go, oh, yeah, but pound for pound, I'm stronger, this, that, and the other. I was like, yeah, but people aren't going to sit and watch you pull a double decker bus when they're going to sit and watch people pull a jumbo jet, are they?
Exactly. People. That's
it's
like.
A visualization thing.
That's like that by me. I have a friend, he's a bodybuilder. And I can't stand it. And he's talking about he has to compete at the 188 and he wants to go pro. I'm like, tell me who was the Mr. Olympia at 188. Oh, you can't. Nobody gives a fuck who is the Olympia.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. I mean, I'm saying 188 pounds, not stones. But it's like, yeah, nobody gives a shit. The biggest guys who they want to see. And
that's something I do I think people debate. I don't know, I have a lot of respect for the letter of extra room, but it's the sad state of affairs is it's always going to be the fact that they're going to want to see Jumbo Jets moves, they're going to want to see the big, ridiculous freaks of people move, which
you're not going to get to like a go and watch a World's Strongest Man and see someone pull a freaking SUV or a minivan, are you? And they go, "Oh, that's great." You're going to watch the guy who's pulling the freaking 18-wheeler.
Yeah. Have you watched it? Yeah, it's so true. Did you watch the Straw Man this year?
Yeah, I always watch it because, yes, you can't miss it these days, can you, with social media and everything?
Yeah, well, I mean, this was the first year. I don't know what station had it on, what TV station had it on by you, but the TV station that puts it on here in the States, they put it out right away.
Yeah, we won't go. Ours won't be released till Christmas.
Oh, wow. So
everyone knows the results, but they will not show it until Christmas.
That's what it was by us for the longest time. You know, they just had it in June, and we would get it around Christmas too. But with social media and everything, they put it out right away.
It ruins it. Yeah, I don't blame them. I would too. I think they should make these events more like live events and other bits and bobs. Make it a lot more interesting and grow the sport a lot more.
That's what I say. I think, you know, the grow to sport, they should also follow the athlete leading into it. Kind of like the UFC fights. Before the fight comes on, they have a 2-minute monologue on how the guy trains, his life, and everything. Just, you know, like you own a gym. That'd be amazing to follow you leading into Giants Live.
It's a good thing, like, with Official Strongman, if you have you're part of their website.
Which website's that?
TheOfficialStrongman.com.
I have not gone on that website, no.
I haven't gone there. So you sign up, I think it's only like $8 a month or something. But the content that they produce on there, they've come to my gym, they've seen what we do and how I do things, but they record me training and talk about training, and they do it with loads of different strong men and women, and it's a great website to get on. Like when you think you're $8 a month, it's not really that much, is it? You know what I mean? And you're getting all of this content for free. Not free, but for that price.
Right.
It's got everything on there. You can pick up so much.
I'm at the checkout then. I did see the one clip somebody leaked to YouTube as you talking about us log pressing, and I watched that. That's how I found you, because I'm dead into log pressing, and I started pressing, and I was like, oh, okay, this guy knows his shit, and so I think that's what I saw. They leaked it, but
there's a few videos again on Official Strongman. There's videos on there of me talking about log press, the breakdown, movement patterns, and how I look for.
Okay, I'm gonna definitely go sign up for that after this.
People underestimate the movement a lot as well. It's such a complex movement. And it's like the bench press. People look at the bench press, well, you only look at bench press. No, it's a lot more technical than that. It's not just a matter of just moving the weight. It's doing it efficiently, making sure your right positions, your elbow positions, your head positions, your leg drive's efficient, your breathing's efficient. Like, you just don't get.
People don't get it. And they don't get that with the log. Your hands are placed so much differently. Like, I can log press more than I can press with a regular bar, a barbell.
Yeah. Most people can, because when the log sits on the chest, it sits front of the waist, so you're already short the range of motion. So, like, on my log, I can press, say, I can do 211s, the best I've done, and on a barbell, the best I've done out of a rack, 180.
Oh, wow.
So, kilos, obviously. But, yeah, with a log, further movement of the log. Again, when I've been practicing it for 7 years, like, it's just my favorite movement. I enjoy coaching. I've run a few workshops and clinics over here where I just sort of break down the movement. And people, if you go to me, they go, "Bloody hell, you do really break us down." I was like, if you want the most efficient out of a movement, you need to look at everything from your footwear, what you're wearing, everything to, like, I had one guy, I sat chatting to him, and he couldn't grasp why he couldn't clean the log. It's basically because of the paint on the log and the t-shirt he was wearing. He went, no, it's not that, it's not that. He went, take your t-shirt off, put a little bit of chalk on you, shoot a little bit of sweaty, and then clean it. Bosh, go straight up.
Wow.
But now put your t-shirt back on, can't clean it again. It's just simple. It's like when people wear the Under Armour breathable tops and that for log.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Get a thick cotton top with a print on the front. The reason I say get a print on the front is because it sticks to the print.
Yeah, that's what I actually had on last time I did it, and I felt a lot easier doing it.
Well, that big print will just give you that little bit of extra. It will literally help you roll out of the chest, get you sort of I tell you what, you said you've just started your log training, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, well, what I do is I've got a 12-week log program. I'll send that over to you. It's 2 days a week, and as you start cracking on with that, and then let me know how you're on.
Oh, I will definitely do that. Thank you. I appreciate that big time.
So, no worries. It's good to get out there. You'll be able to see the different way I do things, the way I train things. You'll see. I'll put it this way, it's not easy. It's quite a tough program.
If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. That's what I say.
Exactly. Exactly. But I'm more than happy. You'll say, if this, just drop me a message with your email address, I'll ping it over. And then all I'd say, ask my attend, is you just sort of give me honest feedback about it. It's good to see where you go with it.
Definitely, definitely. You know, I appreciate you coming on. A lot of people don't reply back to me. People think I'm a troll. No, I'm just a guy who loves to lift heavy weights and growing in the strongman. So I love it. And I want to make it more popular.
That's the best way to do it. We've all got to start small. We all sort of help each other out. And that's what's the great thing about this sport.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't ask for anything, you know. Just post a link, if you could, or just a picture or anything. I don't know. But I'm looking forward. I'm actually giddy for this log press now. I can't wait to fucking.
So, yeah, give me your email. I'll ping it over tonight, and you can have a look for it.
Yeah, I'll text it over to you after I get off this with you.
Sorry, man.
Now, is there an email, or you want to plug your gym for? Do you do online training?
Yeah, I do online coaching. So if you just head over to the Barbell Division on Instagram, it's the_barbell_division. Hit on that, follow that, you send me a message, or if you can't find me that, just call my personal one, which on Instagram is Aaron_Page_. You find myself on there. If not, Facebook, just get him, drop me a message, and we can chat about your training from there on.
And he will reply back to your messages, people, if you don't think he does, then he does.
I reply to anyone. Some of the comments I get, I have to reply to you very carefully there.
Yes, yes, it's the pussy yes, police will come out and get you.
No, it's not even them, mate. It's the very interesting video sent to me. So, yeah, you kind of just got to be like, thanks, in the block.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Videos. Yeah, sorry, Wank. I didn't want to. No.
No, I didn't want to see that. No one needs to see that. I had a funny story once. I won't name any names just in case, but. We were sat training, and all of a sudden I could hear this laugh, this gross sound. I was like, all right, what's this? And he showed me his video, and he got sent a video of a guy literally urinating on himself. So, as being a nice guy, he sent back an umbrella emoji. But it's just like people are starting to love them. That's a big story. Just. I did not need to sit man urinating on himself for the day.
No, yeah. I wouldn't want that. Or any type of dick or jerk pick. No, no. No thanks. And I don't know about you, but the guys listening, I do not sell any of my socks after I go to the gym or underwear. I get that so often. Like when I used to fight, I used to do that all the time. Hey, are you selling your underwear after you train? No, I need them for my next training session.
Yeah, no, I need them. They've got special powers in. Off your morphine, then if you take them, special powers.
And you're blocked. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Peace. Have a nice day. You know, enjoy your life. Go pester someone else. No Foxtrot Oscar.
Oh, that's great. That's great. This has been a great podcast. Aaron, thank you for coming on, man. You're a hell of a guy.
I really appreciate the message. It's great.
I'm gonna stay in touch with you. I can't wait for the log press. Everybody, you know where to find him. He's plugged his social. Now, what part?
Yeah, thing as well. I've also got to say the 12-week log program I sell is a general thing as well, and I've got a 12-week deadlift and squat program that I do as well. So they're also available for anyone who wants to message me about those. I can obviously get those one-off payment. You get sent over to them, and then they've got all the info there.
Awesome. So that's
perfect.
That's awesome. I hope I see you at the Arnold this year, and we do it on the West Side. What happened?
So do I. I hope I'm there this year as well. I'm really looking forward to next year, so I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
I hope you make it, and then I hope we do it on the West Side after. You can meet Louie.
Yeah, definitely. All right, man. Take care.
All right, Aaron. Take care. Definitely. Thank you. There you have it, Aaron Page, stand-up guy. talking training, talking dieting, talking weird DMs. Just a stand-up guy. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you again to Aaron Page. I'm going to be posting this ASAP. Give me your feedback. And that's all I got. Until next week with Eddie Williams, I'm going to go. If everything was easy in this world, everybody be doing it. Remember that, people. I'm out.